I've talked many times over the years about my friendship with James Randi, who's one of my heroes. I first saw Randi perform on the Carson Show when I was a boy and was blown away by his abilities. And then I saw him on an episode of Happy Days where he got Fonzie to do the a disappearing act from a milk bottle trick, an old Houdini trick, and that was fantastic. And then I got to know Randi even more so when Penn Jillette of Penn & Teller introduced me to him, and I became familiar with Randy's work as a skeptic. He formed an organization called the James Randi Educational Foundation, and as Randi has gotten up there in years, he has looked to pass along the leadership of that organization to younger skeptics. Another friend of mine by the name of Dr. Phil Plait, the bad astronomer, had that job over the course of the last year. And now the mantle has been passed along to a St. Louisan by the name of DJ Grothy, who joins me in the studio here live this afternoon. Hi, DJ. How are you?
Hello, Paul. Pleasure to be on the show.
Nice to have you here. And as we were discussing before we went on, we have a lot of mutual friends, not the least of which the man himself, James Randi. How did you get to know him?
Well, I knew of Randi as a magician before I knew of him as a skeptic. So when I was a teenage magician, and it's interesting that we're at Westport Plaza right now recording this in studio, I used to perform here as a street performer, and I worked at a magic store here at Westport, so it's a blast of nostalgia being here.
Mm-hmm.
Read all the old magic magazines when I was a teenager, and I knew of Randi as a magician from that. Only years later, when I got involved as a, involved with the organizing of the skeptical movement, did I really see him as the leading figure of organized skepticism.
Mm-hmm. Every summer, they. The James Randi Educational Foundation puts on the amazing meeting, which is this year the eighth year?
Well, this is TAM 8, the Amazing Meeting 8 in Vegas, but we've had additional amazing meetings on the high seas, on cruises. Last year saw the first international expansion of the Amazing Meetings in London. This year we're in Australia and back to London.
Wow.
So it's not the eighth one, but it's the eighth year.
It's the eighth American
Amazing
Meeting, which is a great collection of people all with a common belief in prove it.
Right.
That's essentially what the James Randi Educational Foundation is. You made an extraordinary claim. That requires extraordinary proof.
There are all kind of Missourians, right? They all say, show me, prove it. And a common belief in critical thinking. So it's not a naysaying, knee-jerk cynicism. We're open-minded about these sorts of claims, yet after 30 years of the organizations looking into the claims, we just haven't found sufficient evidence to warrant belief in them.
And the $1 million is still safe.
The $1 million is safe. You can go to randi.org and see the statements from Goldman Sachs. We have $1 million that we offer as a challenge to anyone who can prove under mutually agreed upon scientific conditions that their paranormal or supernatural claim is real. The goal, of course, is to ferret out the truth about these sorts of claims. Mm-hmm. And it just so happens after years of engaging in the challenge, invariably we instead ferret out some, may I say, frauds or charlatans, other people who mean well, they're not doing well because I'd consider them self-deceived. We haven't found any claim to merit the $1 million thus far.
Because there is a difference between those two categories of people. There are people who themselves believe that they have some ability and they've been able to convince themselves and perhaps people close to them that they have this ability. And yet when they've actually had somebody look at it objectively and test that ability, turned out not to be. And the other category are the people who know that they don't have that ability and yet rip people off through cons and frauds, psychic and otherwise, talking to the dead.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, that's not the hard part. It's having the dead talk to you. Anybody can talk to the dead.
Right.
You know, I can talk to my dad anytime I want, but he's never going to talk back to me since he died on May 1st, 1997. Mm. So, it's those people. That second category, those are the ones that turn my stomach.
Right. That's the righteous indignation that riles up folks like Randi and other leaders in this movement, and it is becoming a movement. It's not just a few smarty pants spouting off in the media these days. It's a growing grassroots movement of people who are rolling up their sleeves to positively impact culture for critical thinking, kind of to advance critical thinking. what really gets our goats, right, is the set of claimants whom we imagine know they're faking it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm interested in this third category as well, people who start out as fake and end up convincing themselves that they're real.
Mm-hmm.
So I know a few magicians, right, who go out there and to make a buck, in addition to doing magic shows, they do cold readings or psychic parties.
Mm-hmm.
And after doing that a couple of years, they, wouldn't you know it, they end up suggesting, well, of course, I know how the tricks are done, but maybe there's something to it because of these few experiences I've had giving cold readings or giving psychic readings that just seem to be beyond the pale. They're just amazingly convincing that maybe something's happening.
I'm curious where you think somebody like Kreskin falls in that spectrum of people.
Well, controversially, I am probably a little more generous with folks like Kreskin than our mutual friend Jamie Ian Swiss. Other magicians who kind of get their ire up when Kreskin fudges a little theatrically. He says in a number of his books and appearances, I remember seeing him at the Sheldon years and years ago, live show, one of the best I've seen. People can't believe that, but it really was just amazing.
I believe it. Man's quite a showman.
Yeah, just a great showman, great entertainer. He says, everything I'm doing is natural. And then the implication, of course, is people in the audience believe, oh, psychic powers, they're natural,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
So he's doing a little doublespeak. He's saying to the skeptics, it's natural, not supernatural. He's saying to the believers, it's natural, meaning everyone has these natural abilities.
Right.
But, you know, he does tricks. And he admits it most of the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
In the 70s, he had a TV show that aired out of Toronto, I believe, or somewhere in Canada. And on the show, a number of times, he took great pains, even when he had psychics on, to say, what I'm doing is unlike what you're doing,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
The very fact that the guy gets on stage and sells tickets to a show, and it's unlike what John Edward does, you know, where he sells tickets to a show to talk to your deceased loved ones. He does a show, you know, beginning, middle, and end.
Right.
It's ovation.
Yeah. John Edwards and some of these other guys are just harping on people at their emotional lows,
right.
and just taking advantage of that
right.
completely, whereas Kreskin is doing it pure. I mean, there's very little difference between what Kreskin does and what other magicians are doing on stage, which is deceiving you because you asked them to deceive you and you paid them that money.
Exactly.
I mean, if you go up there and you purposely deceive people, even though they don't know they're being deceived, then that's where the real criminal activity in my mind is going on.
Right. In my view, it's reprehensible when someone uses magic tricks or tricks of psychology to keep people from going through the natural processes of grief. It floors me to see figures like John Edward or James von Prague or others
mm-hmm.
Tell you straight-faced, I am speaking to your loved one who has crossed over,
yeah.
and here's the message. And it's always kind of an odd message, like the ghost or the deceased loved one in spirit form can't really get the words out right and is making guesses, and it's just reprehensible that that's...
Well, the most reprehensible one of the last few years here in the St. Louis area was Sylvia Brown telling Sean Hornbeck's parents
yeah.
that he was dead.
Yeah, on Montel Williams.
Right.
Yeah, it's just not only was she wrong, she was so wrong.
Evilly wrong.
Right, and I think she's almost in a class by herself.
And by the way,
I believe she's self-deceived, by the way. You know, this is an argument I have with some skeptics who say, no, she's a cutthroat villain. Well, I think there's some villainy there, too, but... Is it being a sociopath? I don't know. I'll guess where she has to sleep with herself at night. You know, she has to live with herself and say, she has to be able to sleep at night is what I meant to say. She says, there's something to it. She's not walking around knowing. I just think it's impossible to walk around with that kind of lack of conscience.
I don't think it's impossible. I think that she and others are doing exactly that. They look in the mirror and they see dollar signs, and that's all. And by the way, I mentioned two categories of people who we talk about here. That's the third category of people who will never be tested because they'll never submit themselves for testing because the moment they do, gigs up.
Despite being challenged repeatedly by the James Randi Educational Foundation, Randi on Larry King Live, other places, of course, they run from the $1 million challenge because they know it is the biggest threat to their credibility.
Right.
If we have $1 million on the table, Paul, and we say, it's yours, just prove it, and they run from that, that is an admission right there.
You know, I was talking about this on the air about 10 years ago here on KTRS, and a guy called up who claimed that he had psychic powers and he did psychic readings for people, et cetera, et cetera. And I said, okay, well, you know what? Two things. One, if you can prove it, I will personally make you the most famous person in the world, which wouldn't take any effort on my part. If we found a real person who had supernatural abilities,
right-o.
You know, that would be simple. And then two, you know, I'll make the phone call and get you the $1 million if we can prove this. And he said, well, I'm not in it for the money. And I said, okay, well, that means you don't charge for your services? Oh, yeah, I do. Well, then you are in it for the money. And even if you're not in it for the money, take the $1 million, give it to a children's cause.
Even if it's not a motivation for money, take the $1 million and the notoriety, the fame that comes with it, because you will change the world as we know it. If you can prove those supernatural or paranormal abilities
Correct.
Are real, you'll overturn physics. There's a Nobel Prize in it. You know,
yeah.
I want to spend the $1 million. Give it to someone if they're real. I would love to do that. I don't see it happening, but I'm, you know, gosh darn it, I'm open-minded.
Well, this
and
started,
that's why we offer it. That's why it's real. It's for the taking if someone can prove it.
Well, that's why this started with a $1,000 check in Randy's pocket and became a $10,000 check and is now $1 million that is there. And this is another thing I love from some of the people who are cynical about skeptics.
Mm-hmm.
They don't believe that there's really $1 million prize, that
right.
Randy's lying about that. But as you point out, at randy.org, you can see the verification of the Goldman Sachs account where the money is not only there, it's earning interest to keep running the JREF.
Yeah, among other investments, and that's exactly how it is. The money is there, it's real, and any of our listeners who have a paranormal, supernatural ability, come to randy.org, apply for the $1 million, and let's test the claims.
Yeah, all you have to do is prove what you say you can do.
Under mutually agreed upon conditions. So I want to emphasize we're not inventing all kinds of hoops for people to jump through that are impossible. If you can read minds, you should be able to show that you can read minds.
Yeah, as Randy has said many times, if you say you can fly, let's go to the top of the building and you take one more step than I do at the rooftop and we'll find out pretty soon whether you were telling the truth or not.
Right.
Yeah. DJ Grothy is the president of the James Randi Educational Foundation, also a member of a group here in St. Louis called Skeptics in the Pub. What's that?
As I was mentioning in our earlier conversation, Paul, one of the most exciting things about the organized skeptical movement is that it's growing at the grassroots. And in St. Louis, there's a group that meets at a pub downtown. Jack Patrick's most often meets at Skeptics in the Pub. Once a month, 100 or so folks get together, hang out, socialize, have fun, and they're all skeptics. So any of our listeners who find themselves on this side of the fence, a little less credulous, skeptical of these sorts of claims in society, come by to the next Skeptics in the Pub. It's this next Friday, and enjoy the company of your fellow skeptics.
More information online?
More information online at St. Louis, well, just Google St. Louis Skeptical Society.
Okay.
Yeah.
There you go. Can you hang around? Because I got some people who have some questions for you.
Sure thing.
All right, we'll do that after we take a break here. 314-969-KTRS, 1-888-550-KTRS, cell phones *KTRS. I'm Paul Harris with DJ Grothy, the president of the James Randi Educational Foundation, here in the large morning show in the afternoon on the Big 550 KTRS.
Now back to the large morning show in the afternoon. While Frank and the gang are away at play, here's guest host Paul Harris.
Sitting here with DJ Grothy, who's the new president of the James Randi Educational Foundation. I was just talking about Randy on the show a couple of days ago because the British government has taken action against the guy who was making some bogus bomb detectors that were nothing more than pieces of plastic with a white wand sticking out of them, had no electronics or any kind of real mechanism inside. But this guy had convinced the Iraqi government and the British government to spend $85 million on these bomb detectors that were nothing more than dowsers. If you don't know what a dowser is, it is any kind of device that somebody uses where they claim that by holding that device a certain way, it would help them find water or oil or missing persons. It's all bunk. And Randy is the one who debunked these detectors and had made a big deal about it. Unfortunately, he wasn't able to get people in our own Pentagon and in the British Ministry of Defense and in the Iraqi Ministry of Defense to listen to him, because Iraq's defense minister had said that these things worked, even though he never offered any evidence or proof that they did. And this was a matter literally of life and death, because you hear about bombs going off in Baghdad several days a week. All the entrances to Baghdad are supposedly guarded by security personnel who are using this bogus bomb detector, which doesn't detect explosives or ammunition or anything. It's absolute nonsense. So yet another reason why I just love Randy as a voice of reason, and why I wish there were more people who listened to them. DJ's here with me as the new president of the James Randi Educational Foundation, and we're going to take your phone calls at 314-969-KTRS, 1-888-550-KTRS, cell phone *KTRS. Update me on Randy's health.
Randy recently went through a chemotherapy cycle for cancer, and that finished up at the end of last year. Just today, he had a final series of PET scans, and he got a clean bill of health.
Oh, wow.
He is cancer-free. It's an exciting time at the James Randi Educational Foundation.
That's fantastic. Very, very happy to hear that. All right, let's go to the phones. Liz, you're on the Big 550 KTRS. Hi.
Hi, Paul. I knew you were going to answer my call. That's a joke.
So did I.
Okay, I'm with you on a lot of this stuff, but I got to tell you, twice in my life, unexplained things have happened to me, and I'll tell you about one. It was a day in October about 8 years ago that my son and my husband were out together on a Sunday afternoon, and around 5 o'clock, no, it was later than that because it was 5:10, I started hyperventilating, getting very, very emotional, freaked out, worrying about just them, concentrating totally. They were totally in my head. I looked down at the clock on my car. It was 5:11. I immediately went home and got in the door, and the phone was ringing, or, you know, it was about a half an hour later, but it was the police telling me that they had been in an accident. Mm-hmm. When I got the police report, the accident happened at 5:11.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is that just really coincidence? But why would I feel such a horrible anxiety? I mean, I think that there are such things as premonitions. I'm not saying I'm talking to the dead or anything, but I think there must be some kind of a connection sometimes for people.
Well, let's see what DJ says about that.
Okay, thanks.
A couple just initial thoughts. You're right when you recount that unexplainable things have happened to you. I think the problem is when unexplainable things, inexplicable things happen, then we rush to an explanation, and then the explanation is often supernatural or paranormal. If you look at how many discrete events a person experiences in a month, say a month, there are about a million discrete events. And if you consider by definition something miraculous as being one in a million, say, then that means on a monthly basis, something amazing and inexplicable will happen. How many times have you been thinking about someone and then the phone rings and it's that person?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's happened to me a number of times in my life. Of course, it's also happened, they're less memorable, that I've been thinking about a person and the phone doesn't ring.
Yeah,
and it's not that person.
It's less memorable because there's nothing there to put a milestone in your brain going, oh, I got to remember that.
Exactly. And so, no joshing, no exaggeration. I'm talking with my mother this morning. My mom believes in something like psychic powers, right, despite my chosen career.
Yeah.
And she called, and we had a nice long conversation. And one of the things she said is, you know, have you been all right? Has everything been all right? In other words, implying that she has a sense that something's wrong.
Yes.
Nothing was wrong.
Okay.
Right? But there have been times when she's called and said, is everything all right? And I say, well, you know what? Here's something that I'm I want to gripe about or I'm grouchy about.
Yeah.
And, of course, increasingly I'm hesitant to say, well, let me vent, because she says, aha, more proof of my psychic powers.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. That's not called being psychic. That's called being a mom.
Exactly.
My mom's 85 years old. She always thinks, is everything okay? Is everything okay? Is everything all right with you? I just want to make sure, because I'm not sure if everything's okay with you.
But specifically on what the last caller said, I've had amazing coincidences in my life.
Yes.
And what we need to guard against is what's called arguing from ignorance. That's not a way to call someone ignorant. It's
right.
not an insult. But when you say, I don't know the explanation of this amazing thing, and then to say, therefore, the explanation is
yes.
supernatural.
You know what? That's the concept behind the UFO. People forget that the U stands for unidentified.
Exactly.
People immediately want to make it an IFO. Yep. That must be alien.
Right.
No,
that...
we don't know what it is. That's why it's a UFO. It's flying, and it's an object, but we don't know what it is, so it's unidentified flying object. Great point. Mark, you're on the Big 550. Hello.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good,
great
thanks.
Show. I was just kind of wondering if the if he's seen the movie called The Great... The Great Buck Howard.
You know what? I was thinking of asking DJ if he's seen this too when we were talking about Kreskin before. Have you seen it?
And not only have I seen it, we were mentioning Skeptics in the Pub earlier. A few skeptics came over a couple weeks ago, and we actually all watched The Great Buck Howard.
And
it's based on the life of the amazing Kreskin.
Yes, it is. And it's John Malkovich.
Yeah.
As a, you know, sometimes creepy, sometimes very funny, you know, kind of convoluted maybe in some ways version of Kreskin.
It takes artistic license, but it was a great movie. It's a sleeper kind of a hit. But if your listeners have not seen that movie,
yeah.
Netflix it, get yeah. it. It's one of the best movies I've seen. Of course, I'm biased. I love those kind of movies.
Did you like it, Mark?
Oh, I loved it. I thought it was great. And I was kind of wondering if it was biopic of the Kreskin life, of Kreskin's life, because at the end they say thank you for Kreskin. Just Kreskin, and they didn't say it was a biography, basically, but he kind of got the idea that it was.
Yeah,
well, the screenwriter was the former assistant of Kreskin, so there's that actual connection.
Does it have Kreskin's okay?
I think it was my sense of it is that it wasn't a direct translation of the life of Kreskin,
mm-hmm.
but they thank Kreskin at the end for being an inspiration of the
yeah.
fictionalized screenplay.
And Mark, as you know, one of the plot points in the movie is based on something that Kreskin used to do, which is when he would show up and do a live gig, like the one, DJ, you were talking about at the Sheldon years ago, he would have them hide his check. His paycheck for that night would be hidden somewhere in the auditorium, and he would have somebody from the crowd who was not even associated with the check sometimes lead him around, and he would miraculously find the check. I think he did it almost every time.
You're right. If not every single time. What's great about that is magicians know how it's done, and even when you know the secret, it's still an amazing feat of skill
yeah.
for him to be able to do that.
Yeah. And well done in the movie, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Mark, I'm glad you called. Thanks.
Thank you.
314-969-KTRS, 1-888-550-KTRS, cell phones *KTRS. Jeff, you're on the Big 550 KTRS. Say hello to DJ Grothy from the James Randi Educational Foundation.
Hey, how are you doing?
Well, hello.
I'm doing pretty good.
Jeff, what's your question?
Well, I was wondering if any person has ever, like, turned in home movies or any, like, the Ghost Hunters Internationals have ever turned in videos of ghost phenomenons to try to get the reward money.
Yeah,
We've had a number of submissions like that, but because we take the $1 million challenge seriously and we want to use it as our chief means of looking into these sorts of claims, there are some standards. There's an application process. So someone's home movies, doctored or not, are not sufficient to apply for the $1 million. Generally, the claimant has to be making a claim about a phenomenon that can be tested. So there's an application process that you have to go through. It's at randi.org.
randi.org.
And
so what you're saying is if somebody came to you and said, hey, look, I had my video camera on yesterday, and there's this ethereal presence on the video that I've captured here, and that's proof of ghosts, you would say to them what?
I'd say two things. One, the claim is worth looking into. Let's look at the video. There are a number of skeptic outfits and individuals who should examine and take seriously that claim. Mm-hmm. But for the $1 million, we want something that can be replicated and not just a one-time video event, but and in fact, we're exploring ways that the $1 million challenge can be broadened to include not just claimants about abilities or certain gizmos that break the laws of physics, but maybe even going in the direction of investigating paranormal scenes. Some of those ways we're talking about expanding the $1 million challenge are not yet in the works, but I would say to the claimant who sends in a video, that's not sufficient. Go to randy.org. You'll see the list of requirements for the application. It's just like if you apply for anything, you have to meet some certain basic minimum criteria.
All right. Does that answer your question, Jeff?
Yep. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling. 314-969-KTRS, 1-888-550-KTRS, cell phones *KTRS. Paul, you're on the big 550. Hi.
Thank you very much, sir. I have a dire need to speak to the Amazing Randy Foundation. I'm a former member of U.S. Intelligence and a former employee of the National Security Agency in Washington, D.C., and I'd love the Amazing Randy Foundation to get around the psychic remote viewers who are stealing other intelligence operatives' work and claiming it as their own. Two people a name it would be Joseph.
Okay, hold on. Don't get into naming names. Let me just ask DJ about the concept of remote viewing, which our government, by the way, has said, you know what, let's spend some money on this, and wasted money on.
Right. Years ago, the remote viewing project, my understanding is it's no longer being funded by the government. It has been funded to the tune of millions of dollars, and leading skeptics have been involved in looking into those claims. Ray Hyman comes to mind.
Correct.
So those claims, I'll just finish the thought, those claims, again, are worth looking into, but I don't think it's in operation anymore, because after years of the government funding the research, guess what? They just didn't find any evidence to merit belief in those claims.
Yes, sir. The reason why we got involved with it, we found out the Russians were involved in it, and they started Operation Stargate, sir.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the whole basis of it. We were getting nothing out of it, and Congress defunded it. One of the biggest proponents of it would be Senator Robert Byrd, who still wanted to continue to fund it. However, they've made claims like finding General James Dozier, who was kidnapped by the Red Brigade in 1980. The psychic remote viewers had absolutely nothing to do with it. General James Dozier was found by United States Army Field Station, Augsburg, Germany.
All right, Paul, I'm going to cut you off for here for just a second, because I don't want to get specifically into any small claim. I don't mean to belittle this in any way, but we just don't have time here today on the show to start telling stories about individual things involving remote viewers. But I'm glad you called. And by the way, George Clooney made a movie last year called The Men Who Stare at Goats,
yeah,
which, by the way, was a terrible movie and died at the box office, as it should have. But that was based on an actual Army program as well.
Right. Well, you and I, this might be the first thing we disagree on. I thought the movie was funny, but you're right, it died at the box office. So you see the influence of these sorts of claims in pop culture. So here was a movie about remote viewing. And remote viewing, for our listeners, is basically telepathy. It's, clairvoyance. It's being able to see images from afar,
mm-hmm,
another name for it. And it, you know, I could, even with the libertarian streak in me, I can see the rationale that if during the height of the Cold War there were reports that the USSR was funding a remote viewing program, I could see the rationale for at least poking around exploring whether or not it's real. But after doing so, when you just look around and you don't see any evidence, a bravo for the government just throwing in the towel and saying it ain't real.
And by the way, the Russians, for a long, long time, during the Cold War and even today, were way over the top when it came to believing in paranormal and psychic garbage. When I was there in 1989, you could go pretty much anywhere you wanted to and have somebody tell you not only about private, but also governmental operations involved in that sort of thing. I like to think that's what helped the Iron Curtain fall. that the Iron Curtain fell under the weight of not enough skeptics.
I love the theory. I'll buy into it. The great thing about the atheistic state of communist Russia, it might not have been religious, but it would alarm a skeptic to realize how paranormalist it was.
Yeah.
It wasn't traditionally religious. But there were all these new age and fringe science and fringe medicine quackery claims, and they're still just widespread in Russia today.
Quackery is a great word for it. I know Randy had done a lot of stuff over there, including a classic Nova special where he went to the Soviet Union and exposed some of these quacks who couldn't do anything close to what they claimed they could do when there was somebody objective in the room. What a surprise. DJ, it's a pleasure meeting you, and good luck in your presidency. You've just become the president of the JREF, and I look forward to you having a great year or two or 10 or however long you stay in that job.
Well, Paul, pleasure to be on the show. Great conversation.
Thank you very much. DJ Grothy is the president of the James Randi Educational Foundation. Find out more about it at randi.org. You can also follow him on Twitter as DJ Grothy, G-R-O-T-H-E. And if you want to find out about Skeptics in the Pub, their next meeting is next Friday. Just Google them. St. Louis Skeptics in the Pub would be the way to get the information on that.